from your mannerism, from the way you look and speak, you could be a Ghanaian. And he called me Kwame. But in doing that, he gave me this instrument called the Atentiben flute, which is a bamboo flute, but uniquely, the holes are all placed to the left, to the right. So it starts straight down the middle of the flute, and then it suddenly curves to the right.
That's interesting, because of course our fingers are not straight, are they?
No,
they
that's
also
right.
curve slightly.
Fingers to curve. Mm. And I've written this piece called Leaf Falling Atentiben, because I can remember, when we were there, you can see it was a windy evening, and when I was presented with this bamboo flute, the Atentiben flute. And it's just beautiful the way you get a resounding deep sound.
Now, this flute from Ghana, it's only about a foot long. It's quite wide.
Yeah.
It's completely unadorned. But you have flutes. There's one over here which is about 3 feet long. Well, go and get that one for me. Tell me about that one.
Well, this one here is from India, and it's called a bansuri. It's a difficult flute to play because
it's at the other side of the room.
Room, that's right. Stretching to reach it. Yeah. It's a very thick, even thicker than the Atentiben flute, and it's very long. And the holes are widely placed. And there's someone who's more obsessive about flutes than myself called Panelo Ghosh. And what he used to do is to cut part of his finger to stretch. To get a stretch to play it. It was a messy, messy kind of thing.
So hang on. In order to stretch, to get these, he would cut between his fingers. So he could stretch them wider and wider. He must have been very dedicated.
I don't think it's dedication. I think what I've discovered, that if you stretch your finger using the joints of your fingers,
right.
You get the same effect. Less brutal.
Yeah, a bit like the way bagpipe players play, with the ends of their fingers, but exactly the
same. So I've just discovered that, and that's what I was taught in Bombay, and it's a beautiful. Well, you hear the sound, but what's nice about this? It has sort of nice threading that keeps it from splitting, especially in this change of climate.
So this is like the whipping you'd get on a fishing rod to hold.
Yes.
Right. Mm. And so if it splits, it will hold it tight.
Yes.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Somehow, there's something about that flute that sounds Indian.
Yes, yeah, and I use some of the quarter tones because, for instance, it gives you the facility to... So it gives you the facility to do quarter notes, half notes.
So what you're doing here, Keith, is you're partly covering a hole, and then you're sliding your finger up so you can bend the notes and...
You can hear it bending, and that's how you get a quarter tones that is very frequent in Indian music.
Brilliant. So that's India.
Yes.
Keith, among these 207 flutes you have spread out on your kitchen table, I see that you have some bamboo flutes from China. They've got Chinese writing on them, and flute playing is a big cultural activity in China, and their flutes have a very distinctive and beautiful sound.
Yeah, well, these two were originally a gift to me from my Chinese friend when we were both studying in the 70s. because he was the one who told me, oh, you must get our flutes from China because they're so unique. And he was so right. The top section of it has a love story written in Chinese in green or blue. But as you come down, one flute has a peacock and the other one has a dragon.
I mean, this is very interesting because you have a musical instrument here, but it's carrying a piece of literature, Chinese Romeo and Juliet, and a piece of Chinese visual art as well. Yeah. That's very inclusive, isn't
it? Very much so, and cross-curricular.
So, Keith, can you play me one of these works of art?
Yeah, sure, I can. Chinese flutes, they have an extra hole just below the mouth hole, usually covered by rice paper.
So they put rice paper on because as you blow, it will vibrate.
But I get the same effect by using my throat. That sort of sound. And then I put it onto the flute. So when you hear me play it, you get the same vibration. Can you hear that?
I love not just the vibrato, but the sort of the breathiness as the note dies. So we've been all around the world now with your flute collection, Keith. But what about Europe? Because that's where you live now. Yeah. Is there a European flute you like?
Oh, yes. My European flute is a C flute. It's my favorite, but also use the alto flute for compositional work and effects.
So these are the kind of flutes that that James Galway would be playing. Though yours are silver rather than gold.
That's right.
Yeah. You've got this wonderful alto flute. This is quite a sophisticated instrument then, compared with the bone flute with three holes.
That's right.
There's a lot of plumbing on this flute, and you can do amazing things with it, I think.
Yes, and also because I've tried to push the boundaries as much as I can. So I'm going to develop a piece of music, which is I call the flute fraternity theme, and it's really about using the rock guitar pedal to give me the layers that I need to create this piece of music. And I'm using both the alto flute to start with, and I go in, and then I end up with the C flute.
So we're sitting in Keith Waith's kitchen. He's got two flutes on his lap, some pedal paraphernalia here. And Keith, you're going to give us a brief example of what you can do with layering sound.
Sound okay. And on the pedal, yeah. Thank you.
Keith, many musicians try to get rid of the extraneous sounds of their instruments, so that some accordion players really don't like it if you can hear the buttons rattling on their instruments. But you, it seems to me, relish the sounds of the mechanics of your flutes. Is you're interested in the way they work? Yeah. Is that so?
Well, that's true, because one of the things I do with the flute that I create, I use every instrument to its full capacity. And all this came when I went to India and how they use the breathiness. I went to Africa and they use all the bird songs and the wind songs. For example, this sort of thing, using the keys of the flute. And then I would create something from the rainforest. And the wind sounds. And then, of course, you know, kids always love animal sounds. Or the laughing flute. So, yes, I use it to its full capacity. And also with the blowing, I can still create the breathiness.
And can you sing and play the flute at the same time?
Well, you can, yes. Oh, yeah, anything's possible. Like when I'm doing my jazz. Come on. Before.
Keith, you have more than 200 flutes from all over the world now. But actually, when you first came to Britain, you weren't a flute player, were you?
No, I was here as a trumpet player. But it was during that time at the Royal Military School of Music I discovered the flute and the techniques. And I just fell in love with it. I just love the flute and, you know, the things you can do and just take it into different directions. And also bringing joy to other people. So it's just wonderful. And being able to experiment with the different flutes.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julian.
Keith Waith, the flautist with 207 instruments, talking to Julian May, producer of the Global Flute Fraternity, on a world tour. That was what they were undertaking in his kitchen. Well, welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall and this Proms Saturday matinee with me, Louise Fryer. The Ulster Youth Orchestra are teaming up with their coaches and mentors in the Ulster Orchestra for this prom under the baton of Joanne Falletta. In the first half, the two orchestras played together in the premiere of a BBC commission from Northern Ireland composer Elaine Agnew. Lots of positive comments here in the hall and about that piece on Twitter. And many thanks to Peter Ashman, who's tweeted to tell me that a whirly tube is also known as a lasso d'amore, a carugaphone, and even a bugle resonator. Well, whatever it's called, it was certainly the focus of lots of discussions amongst the prommers during the interval. Alongside youth, there's a focus on theatre music in this prom season, and this second half of the concert is devoted to the suite Stravinsky put together from his first ballet for Diaghilev's Ballet Russe, The Firebird. When Stravinsky arrived in Paris for the final rehearsals in 1910, Diaghilev described him as a man on the threshold of fame. Prophetic indeed. The ballet tells the story of a prince who, with the aid of the magical firebird, releases a group of princesses from the spell cast by the evil magician King Kashkai. The prince falls in love with the most beautiful of the princesses and marries her. Stravinsky produced his first suite from the ballet in 1911. 8 years later, he created a revised version for a smaller orchestra and revisited the suite again in 1945. It's the earliest of those suites that we'll be hearing this afternoon, calling for a huge number of players, around about 150, gathered on stage. Joanne Falletta and the two orchestras have been rehearsing it together over the past week. For the woodwind, it's going to be the younger players who'll be taking the solos, and for all the young players, and it's an exciting prospect.
This is a fantastic experience because there's over 150 of us in the combined orchestras, and it's just the sound, even just being in the orchestra, is immense.
The Albert Hall is great for playing in because it's such a vast hall, but you can hear every player. Standing out there a minute ago, you could hear the harpist playing from right at the top. So even though it's such a huge hall, the sound just carries so well.
You're sitting in the percussion section, in the timps and percussion, and away up high, and you're looking over all the orchestra, and you can feel the whole atmosphere of all the musicians playing. It's great, especially in the last movement five of the Firebird. Is fantastic.
I have the pleasure of being the Ulster Youth Orchestra Principal Oboe, so today I've got quite a lot of solos to do in the Firebird. I've had a lot of support from the Ulster Orchestra players that we've been rehearsing with over the last couple of days. Christopher Blake, who's the Principal Oboe with the Ulster Orchestra, has been helping me a lot, sort of sitting beside me and making sure that I'm playing out. And so that's going to be great to have sitting beside me today.
That was percussionist Andrew Collins, violinist Paul McCusker, percussionist Craig Lutton, and Principal Oboe Carolyn Kelly. Looking forward to this performance at the Proms. Members of the Ulster Youth Orchestra, and here to conduct them in the suite from Stravinsky's The Firebird is Joanne Folletta.
Thank you.
in the course of his career. Stravinsky reckoned he conducted that work in one form or another over 1,000 times. From his ballet, The Firebird, that was the 1911 suite, ending with the infernal dance played by the Ulster Youth Orchestra and the Ulster Orchestra, sharing desks, conducted by Joanne Valletta. Well, the New York Times calls her one of the finest conductors of her generation. She's cool, calm, collected, very clear, fantastically neat in appearance, in her habits and in her conducting style. What a moment for these young performers to play side by side with their adult colleagues. Joanne making her way back onto the platform. The orchestra led by Joanna Petku-Collin. But she's bringing to her feet the young oboist Carolyn Kelly, really making her mark in this Stravinsky piece. The flautist Christian Swain. The first clarinet, Eve Wilczniek. And the first bassoon, David Bennett. And the first flute to Amy Consiglia. Clarinetist Peter Rogers. And all of the wind soloists, standing cor anglais player Sarah Castelli. And the horn, Michael Bell. All of the members of the Ulster Youth Orchestra. Joanne Valletta reaching out as though she would embrace them. And those cheers are for the horn section, and all of the brass now being brought to their feet along with the rest of the woodwind. And the percussion players, the timpanist Craig Lutton, who we were hearing from earlier. So Joanne Valletta making her way around the entire huge orchestral forces massed here at the Royal Albert Hall. Looking back, Stravinsky wrote, "The orchestral body of the Firebird was wastefully large," but the audience here have really responded to the sheer force and power of the masked musicians on stage, as well as the thrill of Stravinsky's orchestration. Well, Joanne Valletta, very keen on music education, and the fruits of that certainly has been in evidence this afternoon, and there's plenty more to come as the weekend unfolds. But for now, back to Broadcasting House and David Cornett.
Well, that was Louise Fryer, and there's another chance to hear this afternoon's prom on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. Well, we've returned to the Royal Albert Hall for our next prom this evening at 7:30 for music by Varese, Nicole Muli, Messiaen and Anna Meredith. And that'll be performed by the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain. And the conductor of the National Youth Orchestra is Vasily Petrenko. As I said, it starts at 7:30.
On Radio 3, from the BBC Proms, the music of Ivor Novello, introduced by Simon Callow.
Novello, to me, means romance, generosity, bigness of spirit, music that comes out of a full heart, melodious and indeed rather melodically inspired, but above all innocent and tender, but very nostalgic stuff, very, very touching. Join me for a musical tribute to one of the most successful composers for British musical theatre, a celebration of Ivor Novello.
Thursday night at the BBC Proms.
From 10:15.
Well, coming up next this afternoon is a second opportunity to hear last Monday's recital from Cadogan Hall of our BBC Proms chamber music recital. That's at 4:15. Now, if you were with me just about 2 hours ago, you may remember that we played a little gap with a spot of Bach. We heard the Prelude number 21 from the Well-Tempered Clavier from Book 1. And at the end of it, I said, well, it was crying out to hear the fugue. And we didn't hear the fugue, of course, because we just didn't have time. Let's hear the jolly old thing now. And it's played by Glenn Gould, thankfully not singing along.
Thank you.
waiting for 2 hours to hear that. The fugue number 21 from the B-flat major, Prelude and Fugue from book one of the 48 by Bach, played by Glenn Gould. Well, as I said, our next programme is BBC Proms Chamber Music from last Monday, coming up now in 17 minutes' time. We change pianists. Leslie Howard is the pianist now, with some music transcribed by Liszt. It's music by Chopin, 17 Polish songs, opus 74, and this is six of them. I think we are going to have time, in fact, to hear all six. As I said, transcribed by Liszt and played by Leslie Howard.
Thank you.
transcriptions by Liszt of 6 of the 17 Polish songs by Chopin, played by Leslie Howard. BBC Radio 3, it's 4:15, time now for an edited repeat of last Monday's Proms Chamber Music Concert. The presenter was Clemency Burton-Hill.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall for the third concert in this year's Proms Chamber season, which promises to be an unusual and inventive recital from the period instrument ensemble L'Arpeggiata. They'll be exploring the phenomenon of tarantismo across the ages. Now, human fascination with the entrancing ritual dance of the tarantella, which can supposedly heal the deadly bite of the tarantula, goes right back to Greek mythology. Over the next hour, we're going to hear a programme that spans the early Baroque to the contemporary era. Now, in today's genre-busting prom, L'Arpeggiata will be joined on stage also by dancer Anna Dago, as well as singers Raquel Andueza and Vincenzo Capizzuto, all of whom are making their debut at the prom. So let's welcome them onto the stage now for this prom's chamber recital. Thank you.
Thank you. passata, quando l'angelo è volata, quando l'angelo è volata, caccio passata. Una voce mo ripeta, non perdere più tempo, circa essere felice, non perdere più tempo, circa essere felice, circa essere felice, non ci sta tempo. E cantano l'uccelli, cantano soltanto quando è santo il pensiero, e cantano soltanto quando è santo il pensiero, quando è santo il pensiero, canta l'uccello. A voi come rosa, quando parlerà amore, leve spine in te parola, quando parlerà amore, leve spine in te parola. Le vespini in te parola si dice amore. A vita è come a morte, stanno vicino a casa, non si può una piccica, stanno vicino a casa, non si può una piccica. Non so può una piccica, so una cosa. E tu figlia Maria, tu non sei manca nata, già sei stato condannato. Tu non sei manca nata, già sei stato condannato, già sei stato condannato, appena nata. Quella che è stata criata, quella che è stata criata, non ce l'hanno mai imparata, non ce l'hanno mai imparata, chi stu criata.